Today's reading starts from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, ending at chapter 4, verse 3. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's start with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for your life-changing words in the Bible. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of us today in the ways that you need to. And we pray that each one of us might move forward and further into the full life that you call us to. Amen. Well, we come to church for many reasons, don't we? Some of us might come for the coffee and the chat, or maybe we come from the wonderful worship that we've all just been doing. That's lovely too, isn't it? But we also come to learn, don't we? And so today I'm going to teach you something really important. I recently had a 50-minute lesson in archery. And so I feel ready now to teach you how to successfully fire a bow and arrow. So now, the most important thing when firing a bow and arrow is to know where your arrow is supposed to go. Now, in our archery lesson, we were firing at a target. Do we have a picture of our target? Yeah, just a bit like this. So this is what we were aiming for. We were aiming for the bullseye most of the time. Sometimes the teachers mixed it up and asked us to aim for the blue, and that was really confusing. But she said, keep your eyes on the target. And you do that because then your brain and your muscles line up with what your eyes are trying to get you to do. Now, there is more to it than this, of course, but we're going to stick with that idea of keeping our focus on the target. And this is really quite an obvious point, isn't it? Because whatever you're trying to do, if you're trying to fire an arrow or kick a ball or hit a piñata or pin a tail on a donkey, whatever it is you're trying to do, if your eyes are open and fixed on where you're trying to hit, you're more likely to get there. Now, Paul is using some similar imagery in his letter to the Philippians. He talks about pressing on towards the goal, or another way you can think of that is the word target. But where is it that he is aiming for? What is this goal? What is this target? Well, our reading today started with some curious words. It said, not that I have already obtained this. Look back a few verses to find out what Paul is talking about. And he says in verses 10 to 11, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He wants to know resurrection. He wants to be whole and fully alive in a perfect resurrection body, eternally with Jesus. That's quite an amazing target, isn't he, that he's aiming for? Eternity with Jesus in a perfect world, in perfect bodies, being perfect, sin-free people. I mean, our archery teacher, she was saying, I'll give you a medal if you hit the bullseye. This is an amazing prize that we are being offered. But if we just go back to our target, the thing with goals and targets, as we understand them in our sort of earthly experience, is that you need one of two things to hit it. You either need skill or you need luck. And despite having my eye on this bullseye for my 50 minutes in my lesson, I probably only hit it twice, and that was definitely luck. It had nothing to do with me being good at archery. And so with this prize, this goal, this resurrection, this eternity with Jesus, is this something we need to achieve by being good, by practicing, or even by being lucky? Well, Paul says, no. In verse 12, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul says he's pressing on towards that goal, that target, because Jesus has already taken hold of him. So in other words, if you imagine I'm firing my bow and arrow and my teacher takes the arrow and marches it over to the target and puts it in for me to make sure I get that bullseye. That's what Paul is saying Jesus has done. He's grasped hold of us. We are going to hit that target. We are going to get that prize because of him. We're going to get to spend eternity with him fully alive because he loves us so much that he made this possible simply by believing in him. It has nothing to do with skill or luck. Thank you, Lord. And of course, I think knowing the end of the story makes a difference to how we experience the journey to get there. I really enjoy reading children's books. Probably more than I enjoy reading adult books, actually. And that's because they always have a happy ending. They might have twists and turns and dark bits, and they might have bits where we wonder what's going to happen. Maybe it looks bleak. But we always know the end is happy. So that means we kind of roll with the ups and the downs. We're not scared. We're not really despairing because we know that it's going to reach a good conclusion. If you know how the journey is going to end, it changes how you experience the present. And I think that's true with life, isn't it? If you go for a job advert, if you knew you were going to get the job, then the interview is just less scary, isn't it? And if you take an exam, if you knew you were going to pass, well, you wouldn't be so nervous going in. Or even if you're buying a house and you knew that you were going to get that house, then maybe you would feel less worried about the whole process to get there. Because knowing the destination, it helps with the journey. Knowing that we have a God who loves us so much that he wants to give us this prize, not because we've earned it, but because he can, this makes every twist of the journey possible. However our circumstances are, the ending will be happy. And it's not just happy for each one of us. The ending for the world is going to be a happy one too. If you ever read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that is as God intended it to be. And I don't think we can underestimate the power of hope that this gives us when we face these difficult things in life. Hope that there is more. Hope that we're secure and we're loved. Loved so much that God wants to make it possible to be with him forever. Hope that one day everything will be set right. Hope even in the face of death. And when we're feeling troubled, that archery lesson has taught us we've got to keep our eyes fixed on that target so we can find that hope. But knowing where we're headed changes how we live now in more ways than one. Paul says in verse 14, I press on towards the goal. He doesn't say, I'm muddling through life, clinging on to hope that one day it will all be fine. He says, I press on. And that's because this truth that we will reach the target, the prize, it's something that changes everything about how we live now. And Paul, he's very good at this stuff. He explains exactly how we can live this out. And he says in verse 18, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he goes on to say, but our citizenship is in heaven. So we have a choice to make. We can either live as an enemy of the cross, or we can live as a citizen of heaven. And let's unpack this. How many of you have ever played the game Pictionary? A few nods, yeah, we know the game Pictionary. So in this game, you're challenged to draw a word so that your teammates understand the word you're drawing, and you do it as fast as you can. So you draw the thing that is going to help them to get the message. So if you're drawing a giraffe, you'll go straight for the long neck. That's the defining characteristic, isn't it? Or if you're drawing a reindeer, straight for the antlers. Well, if you were to draw Christian or Jesus, what is the one thing that you would draw first? And it's obvious, you would draw the cross. And that symbol, it sums up so much, doesn't it? Tells of a God that loved us so much that he was willing to die. And not just die, but die a shameful death. Tells of self-sacrifice, dying for others despite being innocent. Tells of surrender, of going through suffering because that is what God asked him to do. Speaks of humility and grace. So when Paul says that some people are enemies of the cross, he's bringing in all of this loaded symbolism. If you're an enemy of the cross, you're not just an enemy of Jesus, you're an enemy of self-sacrificial love. You're an enemy of forgiveness, of redemption, of grace and mercy. In verse 19, he says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. In other words, they're out for themselves, and they will do whatever they need to get what they want. And I think it's easy to think, I'm a Christian, so I'm not an enemy of the cross. But are we always loving in that self-sacrificial way? Are we always selfless? Are we always models of grace and forgiveness? I definitely am not. Sometimes I am definitely an enemy of the cross. But this is not where we want to be, is it? And so again, this is where our archery lesson comes in. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the target if we want to get our brains and our minds and our body even to do what we want them to do. We keep our eyes focused on where we're headed. So as Paul says in verse 16, we need to live up to what we have already attained. And to do that, we live as citizens of heaven. Now, citizenship, this is big, isn't it? I think if you're a citizen of a country, it means you belong, you officially belong. And it gives you freedom to live fully in the country you're in, to fully participate in it. And so Paul is saying, we are citizens of heaven. We will reach that target. And so we belong in God's kingdom now. It's not something we have to wait for totally. Christ has taken hold of us. He's already said that we belong. And so by being a citizen of heaven, we have that choice. It means that we belong to God's kingdom. So we enjoy the love and the grace and the godly help of being a part of God's family. And we enjoy the freedom that comes with that. We have freedom to be close to a holy God because of who he is and what he's done. And it means we can fully participate in what God is doing here and now. And we can try to live up to Jesus's example of that selfless love. And how we live now, it has eternal impact. I'm going to quote the words of Maximus from Gladiator here. Brothers. No, I'm not going to use his voice. He says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. What we do in life echoes in eternity. What we do now to help others to know Jesus, that echoes in eternity. What we do now to build God's kingdom, what we do now living out his values, that that echoes in eternity, working for justice, working to end oppression, working to comfort and help the brokenhearted, working for peace. All of this echoes in eternity because God's kingdom is eternal. And so we are a part of, like Christ, building up God's kingdom. We press on. We don't drift our way. We press on to this perfect and eternal world by living, by belonging to it, by being free within it, and by fully participating now. And it's not easy. In my 50-minute archery lesson, I did not learn how to fire a bow and arrow in any way that was, yes, any good. And in our earthly lives, we're not going to learn how to become perfect like Jesus. But we're going to try. And we're going to try together, keeping our eyes fixed on him. Life isn't easy. It's not always easy to know how to love sometimes. Sometimes circumstances are so complicated, we don't even know what the loving thing to do is. But Paul tells the Philippians, he says, follow my example. And we have each other, don't we? We're doing this together. And I particularly valued the support and the encouragement that I get from my lovely Oasis ladies. They're so helpful. They encourage me, and we can encourage each other when we get it right and when we get it wrong. And life groups are just such a wonderful support and encouragement. But as we do try, as we try to live as Jesus wants us to, we can know joy. We can know the joy that comes from loving in the way that Jesus does. So as I finish, we're just going to take a moment to focus our eyes on that target that we're aiming for. And maybe today, maybe the thing that you most need to hear is that God loves you so much, he's made it possible for you to get there. It's not up to you. It's not up to you whether you're good or whether you're not. It's because of him. Maybe what you need to hear is that there's hope, even in the hardest and darkest of situations. There's hope. Or maybe you're feeling a challenge. Maybe you're wondering how, in what ways might you be an enemy of the cross, even though you don't want to be? How can you be living more fully as a citizen of heaven? So let's just take a moment of quiet, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit guide our thoughts as we think, where is God leading us today? And then I'll close with a prayer for us.